Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. What a fabulous job Colorado Right to Life has done with Team 131. Have you heard about Team 131? Remember, to get the personhood amendment on the ballot, pro-lifers across Colorado, many pro-life organizations, including especially the sponsor, Christy Burton and her group, Colorado for Equal Rights, everybody working together got 131,000 signatures on a pro-life petition to get on the ballot. That succeeded. Well, that is a tremendous asset. Those names and addresses, registered pro-life voters from across the state, but you can't just mail to a stack of petitions 40 feet high. You got to process them. You need data entry. And all these pro-life groups, they work with volunteers and minimal budgets, and they put their money into saving unborn children, these groups fighting in Colorado for personhood. So it's not like they could just say, all right, here's $40,000, let's hire a data entry firm. They started getting volunteers, and they got, to start with, a couple software engineers who created a webpage at Colorado Right to Life where you can get a username and password, and be a volunteer to enter the names and addresses of the signers. And so far, they have about 131 volunteers so far for Team 131, and 6,000 names entered. And this is pro-lifers around the country. So if you're a pro-life activist, if you're a Christian, you'd like to help out, I'm going to give you an email ID. And if you email, you could get involved, and from your home, from the library, wherever you can log on to the internet, if you only have an hour, a half hour, 4 hours, if you could work a couple hours for 2 or 3 days a week, you could enter these names and help us get 131,000 names entered. And what's fun about the website is it shows the top 10 volunteers and how many names they've entered. It's just really neat. So the email ID, I'm going to give you this email ID, and it's Teamster131, Teamster131@gmail.com. Can't get simpler than that. This is for Team 131, and it's Teamster131@gmail.com. So please mail, that's the Team 131 project leader, Jim Schofield. Email him, and maybe it'd be neat to get the number of volunteers up over 200 entering the names, because there's 131,000 names. And in fact, if you're a pro-life leader or a member of a pro-life group, and you can send an email out to a number of pro-lifers, you could get the email from Jim Schofield at teamster131@gmail.com. Get his email and send it on to your friends, your pro-life friends, and ask them to help. It's a beautiful project because people want to help the Personhood Amendment in Colorado. And here's how you can do it. You can help Colorado Right to Life build this extraordinarily powerful mailing database. So please help with that if you can. Well, Barack Obama will be here in Denver with the DNC in 2 weeks. And American Right to Life, of course, has formed the DNC Welcoming Committee. And we've announced one of the projects is the Clinton Watch, where we will have Christians at each of the adult clubs. I hate calling them that. That's a perversion of the term adult. And we have a funny story about that. My son Josiah, when he was about, I don't know, seven years old, at church, it was Father's Day, and they asked men or boys to stand up and say something, why they appreciated their father. And my son Josiah stood up, I think he was seven, and he said, "My dad helps me read adult books." And it was, It was it made me realize how even that term has been perverted. They've taken that term. Adult clubs. It's gross. And so they're strip joints. So Clinton, the Clinton Watch Project, we will have someone with a digital camera and a couple people holding signs, Clinton Watch, at the major strip joints in the Denver area and uploading the pictures of the Democrats going into the strip joints. Well, it turns out one of the strip joints, we just got this report in at the Bob and Your Live studio, one of the strip joints has a billboard outside of their place this morning saying that the DNC is coming to town and Bill Clinton will be appearing there Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights during the DNC. Now, I'm sure they're taking liberty, and I'm sure they haven't actually booked the former president of the United States, but it's pretty funny. So we're sending somebody out to get a photograph of that sign, and that will be one of the locations where we'll have a team, and they will be uploading the images of the Democrats going into the strip joints. And by the way, this one place, they say, Democrats invited during the DNC coming out, and Bill Clinton will be here for three nights. So they'll probably have a big image of Bill Clinton inside the place, I imagine. And that sign at that joint will help us, of course, in promoting the Clinton Watch Project of American Right to Life to get the media interested and get the word out so that hopefully some of the Democrats coming will hear about it a couple days before they leave if it makes, you know, if we do a good job with the press release, and then they'll intentionally avoid the strip joints, and that would be a victory right there, just right there. So Obama's coming out, and I think we could assume that John Edwards will not be Barack Obama's vice presidential running mate. I guess we could assume that with his admission that, yes, he did have an affair. But no worries. He said it was while his wife's cancer was in remission. Now her cancer is back with a vengeance now. But when he had the affair, no worries, he said, that was when his wife's cancer was in remission. Because that would be especially cruel, right? When your wife is dying of cancer, to have an affair then. I mean, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Now, that's bad, what John Edwards did, but I wonder how it compares to Newt Gingrich. Newt Gingrich, who is loved by almost all Christian conservatives. And remember, he's the guy who writes the tawdry sex scenes into his B novels and who cheated on his wife when she was, what was her condition? I remember the news reports of it with her in a hospital bed and him cheating with a young woman. And was she dying or what at that time? So I'm not sure how John Edwards' affair regarding the status of his wife's illness compares with Newt Gingrich's affair and the status of his wife's illness. But she had cancer. His wife had cancer. And I forget if she was, was she in the hospital at the time? Anyway, it's weird. Isn't it weird? It's just weird. Republicans could do the things that Democrats do, and Ann Coulter and Sean Hannity and on and on and on will take these royal fits when the Democrats do them, but when the Republicans do them, they'll act almost as though it hadn't happened. Almost as though it hadn't happened. Okay. And I remember it was years later when Newt Gingrich repented for his adultery. Remember that? On Dr. Dobson's radio show? And the reason he repented, do you remember why? It was a Republican primary season, and he was thinking about running for president for the nomination. So he has a quick primary conversion and a public repentance for adultery. Why? Because it's primary season. And Christians are so naive, so gullible. It's just startling. But I am thankful for all the Christians who took the summary of our show a couple weeks ago. And I'm happy that the listeners who took the show summary and the link to the show about Dr. Dobson, when we begged Dr. Dobson not to violate his pledge, when he made a pledge, he took an oath and he invoked the name of God. And he said, "For as long as God lets me live on this earth, I will never vote for a politician who's willing to kill a single innocent child." A single. And of course, John McCain, the Republican nominee, by his policies, he's up for killing how many millions? It's millions of kids. John McCain is up for killing millions of kids, unborn kids. And the last time he voted to kill children by surgical abortion was just in 2005. So that's not too long ago. That's by surgical abortion. And then there's all the chemical abortifacients, and there's all the research and harvesting of parts on the tiniest little boys and girls, the embryos. And they're boys and girls because at that moment of fertilization, it's already known whether it's a little boy or a little girl, what their eye color is, their hair color, and so on. And so John McCain advocates killing an enormous number of innocent children, an enormous number. And that includes children who, if their father is a criminal, a little girl whose father is a criminal, John McCain authorized funding to kill that little girl. And you have all the kids with cloning and the in vitro fertilization. You heard about the woman who wanted to have a child who would not have be susceptible to breast cancer. You heard about this child in England. And so what they did was they had 11 kids, and they found out that about half of them were likely or possibly could develop breast cancer. So they killed them. And then they still had too many, so they decided to go ahead and continue raising two, and they killed the others. Now, this was all done when the children were very young. The children were only a week, 10 days, couple weeks old when they decided to do this. But this was done with the screening of embryos in Britain. And so this woman has conceived a baby that doesn't have a breast cancer gene. And actually, she had a number of them, but she had 11 kids. And let's look at this. The mother and father reproduced, and they had 11 tiny children, of which 5 were found to be free from the breast cancer gene. So they killed the other 6. They found 5 that were good. And they decided to give life to 2 of the 5 that were good. Now, it doesn't specifically say what they did with the other 3, whether they are saving them, which I hope, or they killed them. But to start with, they killed 6 of their kids. So those kids are aware. They're alive and aware right now. They're dead physically. They've been killed by their parents and by the doctors. But all these kids, these 6 kids who were killed by this woman, John McCain would advocate her right to kill those kids. John McCain advocates her right to kill those kids. The scientist writes to dissect the tiniest little children, boys and girls, children who don't deserve to be loved or protected by law, whose fathers are criminals. He advocates killing them. And if a mother is sick or dying, it's not just save the mother. He advocates killing the baby. So if the mother is sick or dying, well, just for the life of the mother, for the life of the mother. So if she's severely ill or dying, he advocates the right to kill the baby. We're not talking about just saving the mother. That's, of course, you want to save the mother. Of course, you want to save the mother. But he advocates the right to kill the baby, intentionally kill the baby. So when you add up all the people that John McCain is willing to kill, I think it adds up to more than one. And Dr. Dobson made his pledge that he invoked the name of God. For as long as God would let him live on this earth, he would never vote for a politician willing to kill a single innocent child. So John McCain is therefore disqualified because he's willing to kill millions of children, boys and girls, millions. And hey, if they were Jews, maybe more Christians would understand. If John McCain was running against Hitler and Hitler wanted to kill 6 million Jews, and John McCain said, look, I think a million is more than enough. Killing a million Jews is more than enough. I am not an extremist. I'm not an extremist. I just want to make sure there's informed consent. You know what you're doing. You don't kill Jews who are under 12 years of age, and you don't kill girls under 15 years of age, and you don't ever kill Jews on the Sabbath. And then as long as we can have those regulations, I am John McCain, and I authorize the killing of millions of Jews or blacks or children. It's all the same, human beings created in God's image and likeness. So there are Christians who just don't understand, and they think, you know what, John McCain is 100% pro-life because National Right to Life told us. He's against the Personhood Amendment. He's against the Personhood Amendment. And at least Bob Schaefer, U.S. Senate candidate Bob Schaefer, has a cockamamie excuse. He says he's against it because it's not the right time. See, he doesn't want to be a leader. He wants to be a follower. He wants to wait until it's the right time and then advocate what's true and right and good. That's not a leader. That's a fool and a follower. Now, at least Bob Schaefer has a cockamamie excuse. John McCain, he has no excuse. He's just against personhood. He's against personhood for the unborn. He's just against the Human Life Amendment. So that's the tragedy that you are in. You, those of you listening to this show, that's the tragedy you are in. I'm not in that dilemma. I don't have that dilemma. I don't have that mess. You know, wisdom gets you out of a lot of dilemmas. And Jesus was asked, which is it, A or B? Teacher, it's a two-party system. You have to choose A or B. And Jesus said, C. They said, hey, that's not fair. And Jesus said, tough. The answer is C. You find that in the Gospel of John. So let's play this clip again. We had last week, we listened to Bob Schaefer explaining that he is not going to support the Personhood Amendment. He was on KHAL Radio with Craig Silverman, who's a pro-abort and a liberal. And Dan Kaplis, the co-host of that show, was not in studio that day. So it was Bob Schaefer, U.S. Senate candidate, Republican, lifelong pro-life politician who has always said that life begins at fertilization. Life begins at conception. That's been his position, his official position, in order to get pro-life money and pro-life votes. That's his position. Now it's time where he could give it more than just lip service. Now he could help to try to enact it into law, and he opposes it. Let's hear Bob Schaefer from last week.
What about the Personhood Initiative, which says that life begins at fertilization? Are you for that or against it?
Well, I am right in line with the Catholic Church and the Archbishop of Denver, the Archbishop of or the Bishop of Colorado Springs, Bishop Sheridan and Bishop Tafoya in the Pueblo Archdiocese. They've taken thoughtful approach to that initiative, and I'm pro-life, and I don't want to see any efforts that have the unintended consequence of further cementing bad federal law, Supreme Court decisions against the in a way that works against the unborn.
So you're voting against the Personhood Initiative?
I am right with the Archbishop of Denver. And,
well, I'm not familiar with his position.
Well, I just don't support the initiative. I think there are other strategies and tactics that get us far closer to advancing the cause of human life, and I don't think that giving the courts an opportunity to reinforce the Casey decision is in the best interest of advancing human dignity.
every bogus child regulating bill, every bill that would regulate child killing that Bob Schaefer has supported throughout his political career, every fundraising pro-life child killing regulating bill, like do this and then you could kill the baby, do that and then you could kill the baby, wait 24 hours and then you could kill the baby, sign this informed consent sheet of paper, then you could kill the baby. Every bill he's ever signed, which is a compromise bill that destroys the personhood for the unborn, because if it was a person, you can't kill it after you wait 24 hours. Every one of those bills had the possibility for the Supreme Court to revisit Casey, revisit Roe, and further cement into law their commitment to kill unborn children. Every one of these arguments is a bogus cop-out. Bob Schaefer, the opportunity, this is where the rubber meets the road. We've had lip service out of him for so many years that, oh, I'm pro-life and the unborn life begins at fertilization. And now we have 131,000 pro-life registered voters in Colorado who signed the personhood petition. 131,000. And every major pro-life group in the state has supported it. Focus on the Family has endorsed it. James Dobson has endorsed it. Colorado Right to Life has endorsed it. And here's Bob Schaefer saying, well, it's not the right time. The courts might tell us that they really support abortion. You know how many kids are being killed every day, Bob Schaefer, by abortion? What, the courts are going to tell us they really support abortion? Of course they really support abortion. You're going to wait until the courts are pro-life? You're going to wait until the courts believe in the personhood of the unborn? You're going to wait till kingdom come before you do what's right? You coward. We need leaders. We don't need cowards who are more interested in Dick Wadham's kind of secular Republican Party politics. We don't need that kind of trash. And Bob Schaefer, Dick Wadham's lost the Virginia U.S. Senate reelection campaign. In that state, there was a marriage amendment, and he kept his candidate, George Allen, at an arm's distance away from the marriage amendment. It was a bit too Christian for him. It wasn't supportive of homosexual rights. And so he kept George Allen at an arm's distance away from the Virginia marriage amendment. The Virginia marriage amendment passed overwhelmingly with, I think it was a 300,000 vote margin. And Dick Wadham's candidate, he managed the campaign for the U.S. Senate reelection campaign in Virginia a few years ago, and they lost. They lost, the marriage amendment won. And you know what? It doesn't even matter if it would have been the other way around. When something as fundamental as boy meets girl is under assault, we need leaders who have the courage of their conviction and are willing to be casualties in the war. When you go to war to fight for the freedom of your country, when you go to war against, let's say, World War II, against the Germans and the Italians and the Japanese, you don't only go to war if you're guaranteed that you're going to get out of it alive, if you're guaranteed a victory. You go to war if you have guts and courage and you know that you're fighting for what is right. That's when you go to war. You're a coward if you say, okay, I'll fight for what is right, but only if I'm guaranteed I won't be hurt. I will stand up for the unborn, but only if I'm guaranteed by Dick Wadhams, the secular campaign manager, that it's not going to cost me any votes. You coward, Bob Schaefer, you coward. All these years, how many pro-life friends do I have? Hundreds? Hundreds who have supported Bob Schaefer and donated to his campaigns. And just yesterday, one of them, a gal named Judy, said to me, I had a Bob Schaefer sticker, bumper sticker on my car, and I heard him on KHAL radio say that he opposed the personhood amendment, and I peeled it off my bumper. I peeled it off. And I'm so discouraged. It's true. So with Bob Schaefer waiting until the courts are pro-life before he has the courage to stand up for the right to life of the unborn, the personhood of the unborn, we don't need leaders like that. We're better off without leaders like that, because leaders like that can comfortably coexist with abortion for the rest of their lives as long as they get your money and your votes and they get power. They can comfortably coexist with abortion. We need leaders who have guts, who are willing to sacrifice their own careers, their own opportunities, their money, their reputations to fight to defend the black slave and the Jew in the concentration camp and the child being killed today by Planned Parenthood. That's the kind of leaders we need. Not the cowards who buy into fundraising pro-life initiatives that destroy personhood and effectively end up stopping virtually no abortions anyway. Like Ted Harvey. Yeah, Ted Harvey. I looked up his candidate questionnaire on Colorado Right to Life. Ted Harvey advocates regulating the killing of unborn children. And he advocates that. And he's running in a primary against Mike Kaufman. And Mike Kaufman, when he answered Colorado Right to Life's 7-question questionnaire, from what I can tell, he answered honestly and truthfully every question. Question number 7 was, would you oppose even pro-life regulation that would regulate abortion and basically end with, and then you could kill the baby after you go through this some step requirement, technicality? And Mike Kaufman said, I would oppose, yes, I would oppose that kind of regulation. Ted Harvey, I think he lied to Colorado Right to Life. He answered, yes, I would oppose that regulation. And then he wrote in some kind of obfuscation. Because he supports laws like wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby. And he insists to this day that he supports those laws, yet he deceived, his effort was to deceive pro-life voters. And so that will work for those who don't know the truth. So I hope Ted Harvey comes around. And people say, well, if you want him to come around, why be mean to him? Because kids are being killed. And we don't want him to stand up and say, sign this piece of paper and then you could kill the baby and look what a pro-life hero I am. Now, we need people who have guts. Guts. So, and then you could kill the baby? Bad law. Pro-lifers are going to find out. Pro-life politicians are going to find out. You support personhood and protect the life of the unborn from the moment of fertilization. If not, you are not pro-life. You are pro-choice with exceptions. You're pro-choice with exceptions. Wait 24 hours and then you can kill the baby. That's pro-choice with exceptions. I'm out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, what a great school. And this is Bob and Yurt Live at kgov.com.